And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we go to Psalm 104 this morning, and the verses that we read responsively a few moments ago, you can find that psalm, by the way, in the front of your hymn books. The reading begins at verse 27, or if you have your Bible, or if you just want to listen. But the beginning verses of the psalm that we read responsibly were verses 27 and 28, and this is Psalm 104. And it reads, "These all look to you." Now, just prior to this, God had spoken of many of his creatures that he had created, and also spoken of you and me as human beings. And in light of all of life, then the Lord says these words through the psalmist, "These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things." What an incredible testimony, what an incredible promise God gives to you and me through these words. He is the creator of all things. He is the provider of all things. It makes me think of an individual, and the Lord really gave us good weather for this illustration this morning, by the way. A man by the name of Robert Kearns. Now, you may not know who this is, but if you're driving in light rain or misty, on a misty day like today, there's something on your vehicle that you use and greatly enjoy, and that's the intermittent windshield wiper. This guy is the guy that originally developed that technology. And Robert Kearns was all excited. He went to, he got a patent on his design, and he went to the three major automakers in the U.S., and he was hoping that they would take his technology, and of course he would get some kind of payment back from that, from them. Well, they looked at his technology, but tragically, instead of acknowledging him and giving him some kind of royalty from it, they just developed their own technology and began to put it on all their cars. Well, then he goes into litigation with them. Lawsuits went on for 14 years. He spent all kinds of time and energy and money. But what's interesting with Robert Kearns is all he wanted the automobile industry to do was to acknowledge him as the one who invented this technology. And they refused to do it. He didn't care about the money so much, but he just wanted to be recognized and acknowledged for a great design that he came up with. Well, you know, when we think of Robert Kearns on that level, and then we think about the Almighty God, creator of all things, maybe we get a little bit of a sense of the grief that God experiences when the majority of his creation denies that he is the creator, does not acknowledge him as being the provider of all things. Well, today we come to celebrate, by God's grace, the reality that he is creator, he is provider. God is the provider of all good things. And you know, when we know that and we trust in him, it relieves us of a horrendous burden otherwise that we would have to carry around with us, because there's a lot of major issues that are going on in the world today, and if we think this is all on us, we're going to live lives of absolute terror and anxiety. One of those, for instance, would be climate change, right? We hear a lot about climate change, or more specifically, global warming. In fact, the thinking of our culture and even our leadership in recent times, President Obama, one of his addresses, made this statement, "No challenge poses a greater threat to future generations than climate change." Wow, what a statement. And that was in the context of terrorism and ISIS really flourishing at the time. It was all over the news. And yet you see the concern of some seeing this as one of the biggest threats we have to face. You know, Lindy and I were blessed to go to Glacier National Park. Thought we were headed to the East Coast, and then Hurricane Florence said, no, that's not a good idea. So we traded hurricanes for fires, but the fires were out. So that was quite a blessing from God. But you know, at Glacier National Park, we heard over and over again from rangers and things that we read, by 2030, all the glaciers in Glacier National Park are going to be gone. Might have to rename the park, right? But I thought that was interesting that that was the focus. And my point in this is you can't hardly go anywhere today in any type of topic. It comes down to gloom and doom. You know, there's all these horrendous things going on. It's all on us. We've got to fix it. And it creates this spirit of gloom and doom. One that's interesting to me that nobody seems to talk about, I don't hear much about it, but it's the population growth of the world. Now, that one really does kind of get my attention. Look at those numbers. 1500 AD, from Adam and Eve to 1500 AD, we reached 400 million. Then look at that. In 400 years, we four times that to 1.6 billion. And then in just 100 years, look what happened, almost four times again. And then just in 18 years, we've gained another 1.7 billion. Matt, look at that. Where is that all going to go? That could be downright terrifying and something to lose sleep over. Or another one would be nuclear war. You know, if we're in control of everything and we're totally in control of all the weaponry and pushing the buttons, do you know that between the United States and Russia alone, that's how many nuclear weapons we have that are active? And if all of those were exploded at the very same time, that's the energy that would be exerted through that explosion. And I read a stat that that amount of energy represents 1/10 of the sun's energy shining on the earth for 1 minute. So 1/10 of 1 minute of the sun's energy on earth. That's pretty huge, really. The largest bomb that Russia has, if they dropped it, it could kill 7.6 million people within a day, and the fallout from the radioactivity would injure or kill 3.7 million in days and years to come, and that's just one bomb. Wow, that could be very concerning. I grew up with a multi-nuclear warhead a half mile from our farm on a Minuteman missile. And as a kid, I knew, as we heard about it a lot, and you did too, the danger of a nuclear war during the Cold War era. But you know what's interesting in all of this? Is I never hear God come up in the discussion. I don't hear the leaders of our land saying maybe we need to turn to God for His mercy, for His wisdom. And I don't even see it among normal conversation when I talk with a lot of people, whether it even be a park ranger at a national park. But you know, in essence, the reality is it's not even acceptable anymore. It's not really acceptable by our culture standards to even talk about God in the context of these things or to even acknowledge His existence. I'd say that we're living in very sad times in light of that, but talk about living in anxiety, because hey, if God doesn't exist, then we're it and we're in charge of all these things. And how do you think that's going to go for us, by the way? Well, the good news is that God is the author of climate change. Have you ever thought about that? Do you want to know the most amazing climate change that ever happened in the history of the world thus far? There was a flood And water covered the entire earth. I would say that's a pretty major climate change. And it wasn't due to man doing something improper that was harming the environment. But what it was due to was what God reveals in Genesis chapter 6. And here's how God looked upon his creation. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the issue was not somehow mismanagement of the environment. The issue was how man was relating to God, refusing to acknowledge God, and instead turning and doing every imaginable evil thing that we can do. You see, man's sin is God's sorrow. And God decided to bring discipline upon the world. And in order to keep his promise to Adam and Eve of the seed, he spared the church. And it was one family, Noah's family, the only believers on the face of the earth at the time. And they were spared through the flood, along with the animals, by God's design. You know, as we were in Glacier National Park and we were hearing about in 2030, all the glaciers will be gone. And then I thought, here's another schematic at Glacier National Park, and it shows the glaciers covering the entire park. And they had moved in, they had cut out these beautiful canyons and valleys, and then all the ice, for the most part, melt. And I thought, there must have been a major climate change sometime in the past, because that's a lot of ice to go away. Don't hear any discussion about that at Glacier National Park. But you know, God speaks, and in verse 29 of our psalm, God says, when you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. God just saying in the face of man's arrogance, you know what? God says, I'm still in control. And I'm deciding when people die and when they live. I am fully in control of life on earth. And what good news to know that. That God not only creates life, but he sustains it. You know, as we looked at those population growth statistics, those are staggering. My undergraduate degree was in agriculture and agronomy, and something that fascinated me in my studies was how the agricultural technology was staying way ahead of population growth. And when you see those numbers that you saw on the screen, it's incredible that we have a surplus of food. Now, there's people that may be starving, but again, that's because of sin, man's rebellion, it's politics, it's using food as control over people. But if food was distributed by God's will, there would be no one that would be starving, no one that would even be hungry. And that is downright miraculous. And what a revelation of God always providing. Well, we look at verses 27 and 28 again, and there it is. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. That's our God. He is the provider. And you know, he oversees and he protects his creation. How, you know, can you imagine how many times we could have destroyed a lot of the earth through launching nuclear warheads? Imagine if somebody actually did push the button. It's kind of interesting when you follow the history of the Cold War. There were several times the finger was almost on the button. And yet, incredible things happen. October 1960 is one of those. And there's the historical account. almost had the finger on the button. NORAD was ready to launch. And then they got to thinking, well, wait a minute, Khrushchev, who was the leader at the time, he's at a United Nations meeting in the U.S. They probably wouldn't be launching their nuclear weapons at the U.S. while their leader is there at a meeting. What a coincidence, right? That event perhaps prevented a lot of annihilation on this earth, just because he was there at that time. But God has a way of setting these things up. But what is clear is God remains in control. And in Matthew 10, 28 and 29, there it is, even the sparrow, by God's estimation, one of those creatures least of value, and yet not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of our Heavenly Father. Think about that. That is how intimately God is involved in life and death issues of all His creatures. Imagine how we grieve God when we don't acknowledge Him. When we get caught up in the fears that the world presents to us and we remain silent or not even fully believe in our own hearts that God's on this. I love it when the kids say, I'm on it. Well, God's on it all the time. And we are safe and secure. You know, we are held in the hands of our loving God. And I think there's a little image that I think that beautifully portrays it. You know, the earth is a pretty unique place. And don't you love the saying, God is so immense that in one hand He can hold the universe, and so intimate that in the other He grasps your hand? That's the God that you and I are blessed to know. This is the God who states in verse 32 of our psalm, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. Even God looking a certain way at the earth can cause the earth to tremble, because creation knows that God is the judge of all things and He can end it at any time that He so chooses. That is the power that God has. But how wonderful to know His intimacy with you and me, His people. Because He's the one that created us in our mother's womb, knitted our bodies together to be the unique people that we are. He's the one that gave us our Creator, our Redeemer, His own Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that has given us His means of grace through the Holy Spirit working through those means that we actually can gather here on a Sunday morning to worship and acknowledge God for who He is and to praise Him. And don't you love it in verse 33 of our psalm? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. That's our life as God's people. And so we live in the reality of praising God and acknowledging Him to be Creator and Redeemer, to be the provider of all of our physical as well as our spiritual needs. God has covered every base. Everything is in order by His design. And you know, it puts you and me in a wonderful opportunity in the times in which we live to be able to witness to others. And one of the greatest witnesses we can give is that we're not caught up in anxiety about all these things. But then the opportunity to verbalize that. It's kind of like Paul, remember when he was in Athens, he was able to speak at the Areopagus, and there's all these philosophers there, and they have an altar, and on the altar, the placard to the unknown God. Paul used that as his object lesson. By the way, this altar over here, this unknown God you're worshiping, let me tell you about Him, because I know Him personally. Well, today, the altar with the inscription to the unknown God might be your neighbor or coworker, somebody that you're sitting down with coffee with, and they are just overwhelmed with climate change. What an inroad to begin to share the creator of climate change. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the world needs to hear God's voice. The world needs to come back to realize and acknowledge the one who has created. Think of Robert Kearns, the frustration for him of not even being recognized for something we use every day when it's misty and a little bit of showery rain that we enjoy and just take for granted. But that's minuscule compared to the massive universe that God has provided. You know, Lindy and I, in closing, have a picture from Glacier. Now, how can you look at that picture? And that's one that I personally took. But how can you look at that and say there isn't one who created that? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we look at what God provides for us in just a variety of beauty every day. When we sit down and have a meal and we see that food before us, may we never take it for granted. When we have a roof over our heads, a warm place to sleep, may we recognize that we would not have that but by the grace of God. And most of all, may we recognize and acknowledge that we wouldn't even believe and trust this if God had not given you and me the gift, provided to you and me the gift of faith. In his precious name, amen. And let us pray. Lord, we make the bold confession that you and your wisdom made the earth and all its creatures and continue to sustain it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.